trips left now. Shotgun for Rush. They send four. He's got time. He's going deep. It's multiple coverage, and it's intercepted at the 15-yard line by Gardner Johnson again, bringing it back up across the 30 to the 35, and that'll take care of that possession.
Brad Sham with the call here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. In case you did not know, I'm Sean Sharif, back from vacay. Cowboys insider Bobby Bell back from Philadelphia. Choppy will be back on Thursday. Thank you for turning it on and leaving it on. That is what Tolo stands for, in case you did not know. We got Peyton, Russell, and Kaylin in the back. We're live on the FanCam, Twitch, and YouTube, and we're taking some of your Cowboy phone calls right now at 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053 for Star Up, Star Down, or the Fan Replay brought to you by Ciroc Vodka, with wherever you want to take the 41-7. Excuse me.
Sounded like me.
My voice fading away. That the Cowboys in this game, 41-7 loss. Hit us up on the phones.
Yeah. Would you say that, listening back to that call there, by the way, Brad very much is like, oh my gosh, this season.
Yes.
You can tell exactly. He's worn out there.
Let's just get it over if it's finished.
Were those the two most on target throws Rush had all day yesterday? Were the ones right into CJ Gardner Johnson's chest? Just right in stride. If they were in Cowboys uniforms, we'd be like, those were his best throws of the day. Just on time, tempo, perfect. Right in stride.
You have it out for Cooper Rush, a backup quarterback?
No, I don't have it out.
He's
for Cooper.
He's done a nice job.
I don't have it out for Cooper Rush.
Throughout his career.
I don't have it out for Cooper Rush, but it is.
For your Dak defender thing? Is this your little motive?
No, this is a Lance thing. This is a Trey Lance hit. Why are we not just, once it's gotten to this point, why is Trey Lance not getting in the second half?
Yeah.
Let him play. You're getting blown out and Rush is playing poorly. Let him play the second half. The dude, even if you're not bringing him back, the dude's about to hit free agency. Let him put some tape out there.
It's like they're afraid they'll lose 70-7. That's what I feel.
Yeah. Or like we talked about the quote a couple weeks ago, the better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and leave no doubt. They don't want, fine, you can think our trade was bad, but we're not going to show you that it was bad.
Yeah.
You'll just have to always think it was and never know for certain.
Yeah, because tomorrow we have to ask Jerry, because he didn't talk yesterday after the game. It was a road game. Why would you not play Trey Lance Sunday? Why would you not play him? Well, competitive Nate, all you culture fans, I didn't see any of that yesterday. Got to do it for the culture. You know, you want to draft a guy who comes into a locker room of quitters, or draft a guy who comes into a locker room of competitive sons of bitches out there. Come on, give me a freaking break. Give me a break. But I don't think they want to embarrass themselves by losing 60-7.
I do wonder, like, I mean, I agree.
Do you think you're keeping the fan base more involved? Do you think you're keeping more eyes and ears on the team with Cooper Rush playing versus Lance? Is that the motivation?
I think it genuinely might just be a credibility thing for them. They're like, no, we're not going to put that out there. It'll just always have to be a mystery. And you know, I was talking about this yesterday. Somebody, when they talk about...
The mystery also tells us you botched the evaluation because he's not good enough to play over Rush.
Yeah,
tells us too.
Why did you trade a fourth round pick if, when your starter goes down, he's not playing? Like, that was
in an elimination scenario.
Yeah.
Not just fifth, sixth, seventh game, fine.
Yeah, you're done.
You're done. You've been done.
There's literally nothing. It's the same reason.
And it will benefit you, wink, wink, to lose.
Yeah. It's the same thing of just when you shut down CeeDee Lamb. Like you're making decisions now with your personnel that are related to, we're out of it. So why not give him a chance? Let him put some tape out there.
All right, we're going to get to the Tolos on the phone lines here in just a second. Here is Mike McCarthy on the team finishing with an official losing record this year.
Oh, I mean, that's asking me that in 8 days. You know, I just want to, I'm here to finish the race. You know, that's my mindset, and that's the team's mindset.
Darren and Oak Cliff, start us off. You're live on Sean and Bobby. Go ahead, D.
Hey, man, I'm just calling to know, what is Mike McCarthy called a pass on 3rd and 1 at the beginning of the game? I stopped watching after that.
Darren, I don't think you were alone.
Was that Jerry hitting the Mingo button?
Yeah.
Upstairs. Got to justify. Mingo. We can't justify Lance. It's justify Mingo. Look, I said it earlier in the show. First off, Mingo did win the route. If Cooper Rush makes the right throw, it's a humongous game. Who cares? Who cares if they throw a bomb on 3rd and 1? What's it matter?
Yeah.
You want to keep sustaining a 14-play drive against the number one defense in the National Football League. Like, Mingo won the route. Rush was off with the throw. Teams throw 3rd and 1 bombs all the time.
The This ties back, I promise. You remember the Dez no catch against Green Bay in the playoffs 10 years ago now? In fact, we're coming up on the 10-year anniversary here in 2 weeks. But you remember the Dez no catch? Everybody just talking about should have been a catch, should have been this, should have been. One of the things that a couple of people mentioned at the time, but not a whole lot of other people, is they said it was 4th and 2. Why are you spreading it out and throwing it down the field anyway? Like, what are you doing there?
Yeah.
But it was not a common I do think it's a little, like, it reflects the frustration of when you just lose, how easy it is to just nitpick something and go back and be like, it's 3rd and 1. Why aren't you running the ball there? But yeah, do you run the ball typically? Yeah.
A lot of 3rd and 6 runs yesterday. That a lot of 3rd and 5 runs that have been happening, it feels like, in the past few weeks. 3rd and 6, that run to Rico late. I'm like, what are they doing? Are they just trying to stat pad? Are they trying to get him to 1,000 yards, which star up to Rico Dowdle. He did get his 1,000 yards. But on the other side with Philly, now they didn't have their starting quarterback either. They felt like they were running on a 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5. But it feels like the Cowboys have been doing that the past couple of weeks. Maybe they just see a crazy light box. I don't know. Catch someone by surprise. With 3rd and 5, they've handed off a couple times.
Yeah, and I mean, they've got, earlier in that drive, they actually converted a first down, I think on 3rd and 2 before that, where they handed it to Rico. So, like, I mean, they did run on 3rd and short previously on the drive. And look, like you mentioned, Mingo won the route. Mingo was open. They had miscommunication about which way he was supposed to turn. And even if Mingo hadn't won the route, I was showing you in here during one of the breaks, Ferguson won the route. He was open. Like, it was a play design that worked. It just wasn't executed.
All right. How about this viral Jerry video and audio before the game? This Eagle fan, I don't know if this is like a VIP group, but there's this older gentleman down there on the field who is thanking Jerry Jones for the way he's run the Cowboys, and he wants him to keep doing it. Jerry's trying to respond back by talking about his hardware with all of his Super Bowl rings, but this is Jerry getting hazed.
Jerry, you're doing a great job this year, man. Keep it going. Keep it going, Jerry. Great job. Four more years. Keep doing what you're doing, Jerry. We love you in Philly. We love you.
I know you do.
We love you.
I'll try to live up to my standard this year.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Keep doing what you're doing. I have fun, okay?
You're good.
You're good. Man, Cowboy fans loved that. Then there was another shot that went viral of Jerry. It didn't seem, where does he sit? Didn't seem to be an owner's suite escape, as the fans were able to turn right around and kind of razz him in his box.
I don't know where he sits specifically in the stadium in Philly. I do know that on the box level, though, the suite level, it's like, I mean, the glass for the press box, for instance, is like from the waist up, you are like there at eye level with fans. They can turn right around and like knock on the glass and yell at you. And so
that's exactly what it looked like.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's, I think it's just, that's probably intentional too.
Yes. Right?
Like, you want that access.
Yes.
But yeah, not as protected.
Now, I did have a Tolo say, can y'all ask Jerry tomorrow if he took that as a compliment? Guys, he come on. I know you can throw your insults towards Jerry or whatever. Stephen A questions his mental awareness. He knew it was
an idiot.
He knew it was an insult. He took it as an insult. And if he was David Tepper, he would have had a backhand across that Eagles fan's face. But a lot of Cowboy fans thanking this Eagle fan for insulting Jerry face to face.
Yeah, but I mean,
I think Jerry said, like, oh, what about all my rings? And I think the Eagle fan was like, I need a VHS to watch them. That was the back and forth that actually happened.
That's pretty good. You know what a VHS is, Peyton?
Yeah, it's a little box thing you stick at the bottom of the TV and it plays the thing.
That's it. No, it's look, I mean, it's a tough position to argue from. We've got, I'll tell you this, they've officially been eliminated, so this will be a stat. The day after the Super Bowl.
You breaking the news to us again that they've been eliminated?
I'm breaking the news. Cool. February 9th is Super Bowl Sunday. On February 10th, it'll have been 10,606 days since they last won the Super Bowl. The time that elapsed from Super Bowl I to the last Super Bowl is 10,505 days. So they will officially have gone longer since their last Super Bowl victory than their last Super Bowl victory was from the very first one.
Gosh, my goodness.
So that'll be, we got that date coming up here in about 6 weeks.
NFL teams that are in, just to reset the entire league, Philly, Washington, after last night's thriller in overtime over the Falcons, Minnesota, Detroit. I may have jumped off the Viking ship a little bit too early. That was impressive. with what they did at home against the surging Green Bay Packers.
Play action, and Sam throws to the right, throws to Addison, caught, touchdown! Jordan Addison with his ninth receiving touchdown this year. The Vikings have a 19-3 lead.
Dude, Jordan Addison is nasty. The weapons they have, Jefferson, Addison, is it still Hockenson? Forget about him, Aaron Jones. The Minnesota Vikings work the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay made it a little uncomfortable late, but make no mistake, the Vikings, they controlled and dominated this game in order to move to 14-2. And you and RJ Choppy, I think Peyton as well, had them in the power rankings, and RJ has had them in the power rankings.
I had them up above Philly. So they were three on the last, and because it's the biggest narrative about Minnesota, the biggest thing you can point to really is just they can't keep doing this, right? Like there's not anything you can point to say, well, they're not doing this well. It's really just, well, surely this has to come back down to earth. We know these players aren't that good. How are they playing this well? And it may just be that, no, Kevin O'Connell's tapped into something with Sam Darnold. They figured something out with, these backup offensive linemen that they've had to play. Brian Flores does know how to get the most out of that defense. Like, it is something where if all you have left is a criticism of surely they can't keep doing it, or we got to wait for them to come back down to earth, you maybe have to kind of adjust things a little bit. And they've been good. I had to concede it in the last couple weeks because I had them outside the top five for a while, but they've been good.
But look, three teams have gotten in from the north. Green Bay is in at 11-5. No one is in from the south yet, even though Baker goes off again along with the great Mike Evans. Tampa Bay is 9-7, and one of the surprises of the NFL season, how about this out of the west?
Marvin Harrison Jr. in motion from his right. Here comes the blitz. Throw to the end zone. It is intercepted off the chest of the intended target. A diving interception by Akella Witherspoon at the front left pylon. And the Rams clinch the game with back-to-back interceptions.
Rams radio with a call. Ugly game. The Kyler Murray video game stats are out there again after the release of Call of Duty or whatever he plays. But the bottom line is congratulations to Sean McVay and the LA Rams, 10-6. They're in after last night.
And if you look at, you just take a look, for instance, at these rankings, would this be a 10-6 football team to you? They are 20th in points scored, 15th in points allowed. They're 17th in yards gained, 26th in yards allowed. If you just go to passing, they are 12th in yards per attempt, 24th in yards per attempt allowed on defense. And running the ball, they are 30th in yards per attempt and allowed, they're 23rd. So they don't play like super efficiently, but they win games. And this has been McVay's calling card.
And Stafford has not been very good the past few weeks, and they still end up getting in. So that's the way it looks in the NFC. Buffalo pulling away and embarrassing Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets yesterday. They win. Baltimore and Pittsburgh are in. Houston is in. Indy officially eliminated. What a putrid division that is. Kansas City in. And Jim Harbaugh doing what he does in year one. The Los Angeles Chargers are in.
On the Jets-Bills front, from that game yesterday, did you see on Red Zone when Garrett Wilson scored the touchdown where they finally went on the board? Did you feel at all a little bad to them cutting to Rodgers on the sideline and just kind of like trying to be supportive, like light clap it, but like clearly just like distraught that he's sitting there?
Rodgers has opened his mouth and yapped about everything else in the world. I haven't gotten the Garrett Wilson explanation or justification yet on why it has not worked with them. What has Rodgers said about that, Wilson, afterwards? Didn't he say he's not going to be recruiting people to the Jets?
No, that was Sauce Gardner.
Oh, Sauce.
Sauce Gardner had commented on T. Higgins' Instagram post and said something like, pay this man. And somebody, a Jets fan, replied and said, tell him to come to the Jets. And he replied back, I am, all caps, not going to do that. And it's like, ooh, all right. Well, now Sauce could say, I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to tell anybody what to do. I'm not going to try and influence anybody. But it certainly felt like, hell no, I'm not going to have him come to this dumpster fire.
NFL insiders are starting to say that Mike McCarthy has options. Do you believe it? And is he the one making the decision on returning here or not? That's next during the commercial-free expressway here with Sean and Bobby next.
McKee goes fade, left side of the end zone, easy catch, Brown. That one on Bland, turned him inside out. Touchdown, Philadelphia.
Brad Sham with the call on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. It is a Cowboys Monday with a fan replay brought to you by Ciroc Vodka. I'm Sean Sharif along Cowboys Insider, alongside Cowboys Insider Bobby Bell. Back from Filthy, we're going to have best and worst of the weekend. This is the commercial-free expressway, so no commercials. You no need to go anywhere else during the next 30-plus minutes on DFW Sports Station. We go commercial-free every single day at this time. 41-7, A.J. Brown finally gets involved there, takes the first career touchdown pass from Tanner McKee, who went in for Kenny Pickett's broken ribs, and chunked that thing into the crowd. A.J. then realizes, oh my God, that's McKee's, that's his memorabilia. That's his history right there. And then Big Dom has to get involved.
Hey.
Wouldn't be a freaking NFL Sunday if Big Dom was not a storyline. He goes over, they locate the fan, negotiates next to Mike Trout and Bradley Cooper and whoever else is there. And AJ ends up signing a jersey to trade back for the football. And the fans, I did my civic duty. I did my part. I got you. I got you, man. Here you go, Tanner McKee.
They sent their muscle. They sent Luca Brasi up there. They sent Big Dom up there to make him an offer he couldn't refuse.
Yeah.
Give us the ball back. And so, it's nice. I will say, this seems like it happens a lot. How many times has this happened where we get this story of like, wow, how awful. He tossed his first touchdown up there. He did something. Like, I feel like this has occurred a couple different times. That must tell me, like, players are not aware of that at
all. Yeah.
Like, because we always look at it as like, how
they
would you not know?
They seem to know it was Penix's first one yesterday, though. I feel like after Kyle Pitts caught it, he, like, gave it back to Michael, but, you know, first round hyped rookie versus an absolute no name.
Yeah, and like clearly a big quarterback change that took place where they know, all right, this guy's walking in. Whereas Tanner McKee, he had just come in the game. Like Kenny Pickett just got knocked out. I don't know that A.J. Brown's aware of how much opportunity he's gotten.
McKee looked pretty decent too.
Yeah.
He made some nice throws.
Look, I mean, when you got some of those windows open like you did yesterday, but yeah, he did. The one to Brown that wasn't a touchdown that was close, put it where only he could get it, and then the next one where they actually scored on it, nice throw. He looked good.
Are the agents at work in the coaching hot stove circles? Yesterday, ESPN pregame, Adam Schefter was asked if Mike McCarthy has saved his job or not.
When I say maybe, it's not that he's not deserving. It's that it goes both ways. Number one, Jerry Jones has got to decide, hey, I want to renew him, and Mike McCarthy has the ability to go talk to whoever he wants about a head coaching job.
Awesome.
So he can go listen to the New Orleans Saints, where he's coached before. If they want to talk to him, he can go listen to the New York Jets. He can go listen to any team that has an opening that wants to go talk to Mike McCarthy. So it goes both ways. And by the way, they've talked about what a great job he's done, and people saying he saved his job. I think he's absolutely proven himself to a certain extent. But the fact of the matter is, Jerry Jones has not given him an extension. He's not done anything like that just yet. So this has played on, which tells me that Jerry is interested in Mike, but Jerry also is probably reviewing his options.
So this is my favorite question to ask everyone. It's my new most fascinating question of the offseason. It's not new. We've brought it up before, but haven't really had the knockdown, drag-out fight. Is Mike McCarthy going to get another head coaching job? Is Mike McCarthy desired by anyone else in the National Football League? I love the question. I love the answers. It's a fascinating topic. It's a difficult one, I think, to come up with an answer for. Let us know on the Frank and LaFranco Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053. Bobby has felt no in a phone call a couple weeks ago. It brought us. He goes, yeah, I think that Mike McCarthy will be a head coach again if it is not here. But that's Adam Schefter bringing up the Saints and the Jets. Here's very well-known Mike McCarthy supporter Jay Glazer on Fox discussing this.
Mike McCarthy, actually, him and all the coaches, their contracts expire in 2 weeks. So Jerry Jones is going to sit down with them, obviously, probably the week after the season ends there. But if they decide not to do something with Mike McCarthy, Mike McCarthy is actually on other teams' coaching list if the Cowboys decide not to resign him.
Here we go, and trying to sift through all the mess and the coaching webs, Roberto.
All right, so I've evolved
from Friday or whenever your rant was.
There, Nick.
Yeah,
Bobby has a conscience.
I think McCarthy's back.
Mr. 2%.
Bobby's got a conscience.
Mr. 1% to 2% is now going over 50. What a hell of a jump Mike McCarthy is now back. Wow, I'm glad. Returning from vacation was worth it just for that moment.
It's almost like when you guys say, I never admit I'm wrong, there's like a reason for it. These kind of spikes right here that make it a bit. Yeah. Well, I'm trying to grow here as a person.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, after talking, I think the sense from a lot of people is he's coming back. Like the more people you talk to. And this specifically made me just reading tea leaves and connecting things. I think these reports right here about, McCarthy could have interest around the league. That to me seems like somebody who's confident he's coming back, because this is clearly even if it's not from Mike McCarthy himself.
Well, here's what
maybe it's his agent Don Yee.
Common sense would tell you. I find it interesting that you think it's from a point of confidence. It could be a point of fear, right? Just trying to drum up interest. But you can finish your point on that in a second. Common sense would just tell you that Don Yee, Tom Brady's agent, Brian Broaddus's agent. He gets to the insiders. Brings up some other teams to create the threat to the Cowboys and the urgency that, hey, just so you know, we have places to go. So you think you're holding all the cards? Oh, we have other options too. And that would be the Saints. That would be the Jets. Did the Cleveland Browns interview Mike?
Well, I think they did when their job was open.
Stefanski could very well be gone, even though initial reports, I think Jonathan Jones, CBS, says that Stefanski, the GM, and Watson are all coming back. Common sense would tell you this is the agent telling Glazer and Schefter these other teams are interested in Mike to create some negotiation and some leverage.
Schefter has broken every single report of coaches that Don Yee has signed to his agency. Diana Russini.
Who represents Pete Carroll?
I'm not sure.
The reason I asked that, Florio, my guy, I say that with my head down today. It depends what day it is in terms of claiming Florio. Florio and Schefter fought over Christmas, and I thought Mike was really petty and wrong in this.
Ooh.
Is it Don Yee?
No, I'm just saying, like, you're saying you thought Florio was wrong.
Petty. Good God. Mike, there's another Mike that Florio can't stand in town that I'm like, you guys are more similar than you ever realize. It's amazing how that works sometimes. But Schefter reported Pete Carroll was interested in the Bears job. Florio instantly jumps back and goes, here's Schefter carrying the water for an agent. Here he is. That's all he's doing. You know, it's not ethical. It's not, and it's like, what are you, Mike, shut up. Shut up, Florio. What are you doing? You're being petty. It looks like you're being jealous. It looks like you're looking up. And Schefter wrote back, which he doesn't do a lot. Keep being wrong. Merry Christmas.
Would Florio report? And I enjoyed talking to Florio on here. And I think he's engaging.
Yeah, he's an irritant like you.
Yeah. But would Florio, if Florio had come into information from any source that Pete Carroll is it, you don't need to have an agent's a good source to tell us
it. And the report is Pete Carroll's interested in the Bears.
Right.
How's that false? It's not that the Bears are interested in Pete Carroll.
Right. It's not, you're not making, you're not having an agent feed you something false about a team's thoughts. This is directly about what does the coach want to do.
Florio's way off on this.
So I look at Don Yee stuff was always reported by Adam Schefter. Diana Russini's always been very on top of Sean Payton movements. Sean Payton's agent is Don Yee. Pelissero reported some stuff. Oh, other teams are interested in Mike McCarthy. Well, Pelissero and Glazer, we already know they're McCarthy guys. So a coordinated effort where in the span of 2 days, we get four reports from areas like this that say, all right, fine. Here's why I think he's doing it from a position of power. Why this leak might be coming out now. I think that Mike McCarthy has felt like he wasn't in a position most of the season. I think Mike McCarthy probably privately thought he was losing his job. I think that now what you're seeing is how much of the discussion have we heard is about Mike, if he's back, might not be the offensive coordinator. I think it's very possible this is a leverage play to make sure he retains play calling if he comes back. Because I don't think that he would, if he really didn't know if he was coming back, I don't think he'd risk anything. He's got enough money in the bank. Mike's fine. I think this is about coming back on his terms and wanting to do it his way. And so to me, I think this kind of stuff could, this kind of chatter can leak out or anything else, because I think you're trying to create a leverage point to say, I need that from you.
Yeah.
We already know I'm staying, which I think he believes he's staying. McCarthy does. I think you can hear it in the way he's talking to media, the way his demeanor is in the last week. I think he believes he's here. And so I think he's just looking at it as, all right, this is my bid then to try and retain play calling, is create a leverage point and then say, I want to understand these things. Look, there are other people who think I'm a good option. You guys need to trust me on this and let me do things my way.
I just can't wrap my mind around it. I can't believe it. I cannot believe we're sitting here talking about McCarthy coming back. This may be the most Jerry thing ever, that Mike McCarthy gets extended after 7-10 or 8-9.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
After not getting extended following 12-5 playoffs. That would be the most Jerry thing. And I don't know if Jerry and Steven care or are that aware. It's hard to imagine they're not aware, that they're not that aware of the absolute gut punch to the fan base with the loss of hope exiting the bodies of Cowboy fans once you decide to run it back. That's the number one thing. That's the number one thing that jumps into my mind. Like, are you not aware of how little people will care following this last offseason? Now, that could be dead wrong, because Jerry could hold up a piece of paper and go, you see these numbers, whippersnapper, yahoo?
Yahoo, yeah.
You see these ratings? You see this attendance? You see the merchandise? You see the sales? All that apathy talk you guys have, all that more and more people are going to turn it off and not care, it's not evidence on paper. That's where my mind goes when I hear all of this. And then my first question, which we're going to have to ask Jerry if this ever becomes official, why? Why is Mike coming back? Is Mike coming back because of 4 out of 5 against the Commanders, Giants, Cincy, Carolina, and Tampa? That's what you're telling me. That's the only thing you could tell me. It was 4 out of 5 where Bobby lost his mind on fans who, you know, lost their minds for a month period. Commanders, Giants, Bengals, Panthers, Buccaneers. That 4 out of 5 is the reason you're bringing Mike back? Tell me why.
How much of it is, because this has been a discussion point lately, how much of it is just about another year because we don't like the crop of candidates? Because here are the names you're talking about right now that'll be hot this offseason. Cliff Kingsbury.
Feels like a very weak field.
Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury, Mike Vrabel, Vance Joseph, Brian Flores, maybe Saleh could be. Does somebody want to give Arthur Smith another shot?
Ugh.
Can Matt Nagy be convinced to leave Kansas City, where people assume he's the heir apparent for Andy Reid? Like, those are the names you're talking about.
Well, here's what I would say back to you, or if it was Jerry or Steven, and it's very much a Derrick Henry question. Did you have a conversation with Bill Belichick, and are you having a conversation with Mike Vrabel? I can dismiss all those other names right now. You got to tell me that you investigated and you looked into Vrabel.
Now, they could talk to Belichick whenever they want. They can't talk to Vrabel right now, because Vrabel is tech. I don't believe they can by rules, because he's a consultant with Cleveland. So they'd have to get official league permission.
Yeah, whatever.
No, I mean,
we know how that stuff works.
I know. I'm just saying they would never publicly say that.
Right, yeah. Right. No, I just would like to know behind the scenes. Did you investigate Mike Vrabel? Did you talk to him?
Tell me why.
Be Jerry and Steven and tell me why you're bringing Mike back. You be them.
Look, he's a Super Bowl winning head coach. You look at the injuries we sustained. That you know, matters. And boy, I thought that he really showed through adversity that he could get this football team rallied. And it gave me encouragement that, yeah, we're really close. We just didn't have everybody available to us. And there's no need to upset the apple cart.
Okay. And my response back as a fan would be, and this is where, you know, that rant that everyone talked about from you last week, maybe I shut it off a couple minutes early, but I listened to the majority of it. I thought it was overblown. I didn't think that you totally, completely, like, lost your mind. And everyone knows I'm the first one to criticize you, including your wife. She knows that. I didn't think it was something that crazy. I didn't think this all-time epic radio meltdown where you were yelling and screaming and lost your mind. I was expecting to feel a lot more cringy about it. And maybe, again, I turn it off 2 or 3 minutes early, but I understood what you were saying, and I agree with what you were saying about the mentality of the fan base, those that got swept into and fell for the standard being lowered.
Mm-hmm.
The standard being lowered. It's like us. If we finish top five in ratings, some people are fine with that, and I think that's a loser mentality. Oh, let me just keep collecting my paycheck. That's fine. Are we one or two? That's what the standard's supposed to be, and that is how some Cowboy fans got suckered in to this Mike McCarthy talk. Like, guys, forget about what they did with Cooper Rush. Forget about what they did in this 4 out of 5. What are you when you're at your best? When they are healthy, when they're a 12-win team, when Dak has a second runner MVP season, a runner-up MVP season, finishing second in the voting, you're still not that close to a Super Bowl champion. That's the answer. That's my standard. That's the beginning and that's the end of the talk and the topic. But the Cowboys have capitalized and, well, I don't know if they've done it yet. The Cowboys have taken advantage of, Nick Wright actually said on FS1, the resetting of expectation. Oh my God, so next year, you're telling me we can be a second round playoff team and back to 12 wins after this miserable 8-win season? Oh my God, it's like the beaten down girlfriend who is happy once in a while that they get a gift on their anniversary. No. That's not, you're supposed to get a gift every anniversary. The gifts in your life are supposed to improve and get better. But it's like this beaten, psychologically whipped fan who has now taken 3 steps backwards. So then when you take that 1 step forward, it's like, oh my God, everything's fine and well again. No, you forgot what the standard is. And I think that was the essence of your rant.
Yeah, basically, to me, it was just the idea that why are we holding up as the standard? Like, there's a reason why quitting gets coaches fired, because it is such an unacceptably low threshold that if you can't meet it, it's you've clearly hit a cancerous point with your football team.
Yeah. And who so cares? Okay, they didn't quit on him. That doesn't mean that you're closer to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I mean, look, you got to remember Brian has made the point that he thinks a lot of these guys are playing for themselves, not selfishly, but they're playing hard because they have contracts coming up and they've got things that they've got to concern themselves with. And you got to remember, it's not just McCarthy. It's a whole mess of assistant coaches that they work closely with that they're like, man, if Mike loses a job, they're out of a job and they need to support their family. How do we set things up here? And so, I mean, I think that there's just a human nature aspect that takes over there. That's why quitting is so toxic. It just says, man, well, you must hate everything about this culture right now.
I also saw Kevin with a really good point on Twitter saying the whole quitter thing is overblown. Like, teams don't actually do it.
It's very rare.
It might be a media narrative thing that has gotten out of control, and Mike and others are getting credit for it, that we're not actually seeing, you know, all the business decisions and Ole tackles. That once you get a surprising win in a mediocre parity-driven NFL, we're like, oh my God, you didn't quit.
Yeah.
And the New York Giants don't have quitters. They beat the Colts.
Yeah.
Or are the Colts just like that up and down and consistent and the league is just that even? I don't know. It's something to delve into.
Does this save Antonio Pierce's job? You won 2 games at the end of the year.
Right.
You've been awful.
Right. But I see Giants fans going, Daboll just saved his job. Joe Shane, Daboll, they just saved their job. I don't know if that's true, but that's the psychological effect that this whole quitting topic has on people. Yeah. And again, whoop-de-freaking-do. Who cares? Oh, Dad, I took out the trash today. Okay. You did what you were supposed to do. That's the bare minimum. Congratulations. Are you getting good grades? Are you elevating? Who can? But this mind trick, I think Jerry and Steven are going to capitalize on when they announce that Mike is back, and there'll be less rebellion and storming of AT&T or the Star that I was expecting.
Yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing: is that does Mike deserve credit for overseeing a culture and an offensive program that has been able to have guys step in and play on short notice and have success and win games? Like, the fact that they're 12-6 with a backup quarterback in their last 18. Is that an objectively impressive thing? Yes, it is. And it's something that, okay, you've clearly got something here that is universal and one size fits all, to where anybody can step in and play and you can have success. That's good. Why are you not having that success when your best players are out there and your biggest investments are that? And is that... That could be a player problem. It could have nothing to do with McCarthy.
Here's my problem. One of my many problems. I don't trust the Joneses' motivation. I don't trust their motivation in bringing Mike back if they do it. Is it out of comfort? Do you just like the setup? Do you love the ease of the relationships? Do you not want to go out and do all the legwork and the grinding of interviewing all the other people? Do you really believe that this is your number one shot at a championship, or are you just comfortable with the setup? In my mind, and I have no real reporting or truth on this, it's just an opinion, my mind immediately goes to, it's comfortable. It's an easier setup than going and talking for hours and hours and setting up Bill Belichick sit downs or making phone calls to Mike Vrabel. And that's not what the standard is supposed to be about around here.
Do you think they view it potentially as, look, when Mike's here,
it makes it feel like they're fine with 12-5 and in the mix. Now, RJ, if he was sitting here, would go, that's the goal for any team. That's the goal for any team. If you're 12-5, you're in the mix, and then it's a bunch of luck to determine. Like, you've done 90% of your job as a front office. And I can see a little bit of that discussion, but during this point in time, every year, what do I come in here and say? Oh, my God, after watching these playoff games, the sobering reality of just how far away you are sets in. The Dallas Cowboys are not that close. You could be a playoff team and still not be that close. Come on, y'all. Y'all know that. Don't fall for this luck of the draw and roll the dice in the tournament. Yes, it does play a factor, but they have not and are not that close.
Do you think, similar to what you just said, RJ's perspective is, do you think the Joneses just look at it as, Mike is a good bet to get us to the playoffs every year? Like, that's a solid bet that we can do that. So once we get there, is it worth potentially disrupting things and making the wrong hire and having us miss the playoffs when we believe that once you're in the playoffs, it just comes down to players? It's not about coaches at that point. It's about players, and are you better than them across from you? And we believe we've built a roster that's better than the one across from us. Do you think it's possible that's how they look at McCarthy and they go, no, it's too much of a risk. If you move on from McCarthy, you're jeopardizing even being there to have that luck of the draw standard in January?
Maybe. I think the first part of it, I agree with. The second part, I would like to believe they don't think, well, coaching just doesn't matter in the playoffs. It's the players. And our arrogance of building the roster puts us up against anybody. I believe the first part of, hey, it's nice to know we're in that double-digit win category. But that's just the way I live my life with it. Like, it's not good enough. If it's not good enough, it has to go. That's just the way it is. Not like I can live with it. Yeah, it's okay. That's just not the way I am.
Their last Super Bowl was similar to that. The last Super Bowl they won was Switzer was decent enough to get them around it and get them in contention. And when they got there, players will tell you that we're on that Super Bowl 30 team. They're like, we were not prepped as well as Pittsburgh was in that game. Pittsburgh probably should have beaten us. We were just that much better than them. The problem is that team had 7 Hall of Famers on it, probably, when everything's all said and done. You don't have 7 Hall of Famers on your team. So, yeah, all right, in that instance, and in a weakened AFC where the AFC hadn't won a Super Bowl in, what, like 10 years? We were in a 10-year stretch without the AFC winning. Yeah, like, you can overcome that a little bit. It's a David versus Goliath thing. You're not David versus Goliath when you walk into the playoffs a lot of times. A lot of times it's, no, you're pretty evenly matched, and margins like who's preparing better, who's making the right decisions, that matters.
Yes.
Now, I'm curious because you weren't in last week. You talked about how you just... the allure of Belichick was a pull for you.
Yes.
And you want him, is Carroll that way for you at all?
Look, I think Pete Carroll is getting disrespected in all of this. I think Pete Carroll is a winner, but I'm not like, I want Mike Vrabel definitely over Pete Carroll. And I'm wondering, it sounds crazy because Pete is so old. Is Pete better for a rebuild than a finish?
Isn't Pete older than Belichick, I think? I think he's like a couple months older than even Belichick.
Yeah, like, is Pete Carroll better for a rebuild than a finish? What would be your answer to that? Because, I mean, we all know he's not the typical 73-year-old. He's 73. But is his energy and, like, is Pete Carroll finishing piece? And Pete Carroll is probably going to end up being like an all-time underrated coach with the way history remembers him.
Oh,
no
yeah.
one is pining for him whatsoever. The fact that he needs Schefter to put his name out there is kind of sad. Pete Carroll, he's a possible Hall of Famer.
History will be kinder to Pete Carroll than present day was, because I think a lot of it was he was viewed as you held Russell Wilson back. And then when everything went along as it did, people were like, oh, maybe he protected Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Maybe they actually.
But should have had two titles.
Yeah.
The winning Seattle has done here in the past two or three years is a big time NFL surprise for me. Pete Carroll's the one who was there for the resurrection of Geno Smith's career.
Yep.
How would you feel about Pete Carroll?
I like Pete Carroll. I think you're right. I don't know that Pete Carroll is the push it over coach.
Is Pete Carroll better coach than Mike McCarthy?
Yes, I think so.
Is Pete Carroll better coach than Mike Shanahan?
No.
Is Pete Carroll better coach than Bill Cowher? Mike Holmgren?
Probably not better than Holmgren. Cowher, it's such a... I mean, because you also get down into the question of X's and O's versus culture, or that like because I mean, Shanahan, for instance, it's no question Shanahan's a better X's and O's guy than Pete Carroll. Does Pete Carroll, as San Francisco's culture feels like it's maybe taking a turn, does Pete Carroll deserve a lot of credit for keeping a culture together that we heard stories about after where Richard Sherman hates Russell Wilson and these guys?
Yeah.
Like, does he get Mike Tomlin credit for, man, we didn't realize how much he kind of held that together.
Is it a hard-ass program or country club?
He's supposed to be Quinn-like. Like and makes sense. Quinn coached with Pete Carroll, but he's supposed to be optimistic, upbeat. Guys, let's attack the day with a great energy. Like, yeah. That's Carroll. And I kind of wonder,
like,
I view Harbaugh, for instance. I thought Harbaugh was a push it over guy.
Yeah.
And so there are certain coaches where it's like, that's a push
it over. And more the attitude and approach I want here in terms of the hard ass.
Yeah. I don't know that there's a push it over guy that's available right now. Saban? Would you call Saban and just be like,
no,
you want to come back for a year?
Nah, that's a little too much.
It's a Hail Mary.
I don't think he's a Hail Mary. I mean, Nick Saban, he can't get along with NFL people.
He can't get along with stand-up comedians who make jokes about Alabama paying players.
What a whiny so bee. Soft. He is soft. It's getting the best and worst.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
I'm having a bad fucking weekend.
Bob, let's talk about your trip to Filthy, your new favorite city, as if the Tolos who were mad at you last week couldn't hate you anymore.
Yeah, look, and everybody agrees who goes there.
Yeah.
Everybody agrees it's a great city. Like, we're not talking about the fans or the people. They're clearly awful. And the team is irritated. Like, all those things can be true. But, like, just remove the football team. The city itself is so great. Like, you can think
I had fun. I went one night. Long, 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 long time ago, and I had a blast.
I love the architecture of the buildings down there. I love how you can be in the middle of like a bustling city center, and then you turn a corner, and it's like you're kind of in an urban area with, you know, you've got the basketball courts and pickup games going on, and then you turn another corner, and it's, oh, big city area again, and then you turn another corner, and it's, oh, it's brownstones with the stoops walking up to them and the cobblestone streets. It feels like eight different communities, and there's like a noticeable, you ever go to downtown Dallas and just feel like it doesn't have the energy you'd expect of a big downtown area?
Yeah, just the other night with you all.
Yeah, so.
It was like lost, like, where do we go? What do we do? Like, there wasn't anything obvious.
There is like a.
And downtown Dallas during the day is like not.
It's business. It's not, there's no culture to it. There's like
a little sketchy too.
You feel like the city, the Philadelphia's got like an active heartbeat to it. It's like, it's busy. There's stuff going on. I love it, and there's a million different places to eat. There's a million different things to see. I think the city's great. I could absolutely live there if I didn't have to go out at night.
My wife looked at me with great concern and disappointment. It was a combination because Bobby texted me late Saturday night saying, we're trying to find cheesesteaks. Where do you think we should go? And I sent this back to Bobby, and after I sent it, I'm surprised you didn't respond. I felt like such a loser because here I am in Dallas, Texas, telling Bobby Bell, yeah, this place I was going to tell you to go, they're closed. They got plumbing issues. They're closed. And I was like, my wife looked at me like, how the F do you know that a cheesesteak place in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania is closed for plumbing?
I thought you Googled it. I thought you Googled, like, what was the name of that place again? I think it's Angeles. And you Googled, and then you saw like a news story. That's what
I
thought.
No, it was an Instagram post. Okay. I follow them, and I remembered seeing like the other day, closed for plumbing. Sorry to our people.
Yeah.
So I knew the other place, John's Roast Pork. I wanted it. Again, doesn't seem to make sense. John's Roast Pork for cheesesteaks. They close early. They had weird hours. That one I did look up. But you and Zero, you found the fanciest upscale cheesesteak place in the city.
So here's the problem. We get on the elevator and we're trying to, because Zero wanted to go, Zach Rowe, the old
Nosebleeds
producer.
I did give you a suggestion of DeLisandro's.
Yes, and it's 5 miles away, and we put it in the Uber app. It said it was a 40-minute Uber over there.
What?
I don't know what was going on. There was like a literal rave going on at the Philly Convention Center, and there were all these cars blocking things off, and there was surge prices. So, I mean, it was a 40-minute Uber ride, and it was going to be like $60 to Uber
out.
Wow. And that was just going
out. Is
the
traffic there that horrific?
No, just that night they had stuff blocked off with something going on at the convention center, Cowboys coming into town with the police escort. So it kind of threw things off, and there was a lot of activity, so you didn't have a lot of available Ubers. But yeah, we're going to check that out. It looked like what I would expect when I Googled it, what I expect a Philly cheesesteak place to look like, which is that looks like they could sell cheesesteaks or it looks like they could sell crack.
Yeah.
I don't know which one it is. At night, they probably double up as that. So I went to Reddit and I was just looking at the Philadelphia Reddit page to see what locals would say, go here, go there. Because we got on the elevator and we asked the elevator attendant, there was this girl standing there. I was like, do you like cheesesteaks? She's like, yeah. I said, where around here that we could walk would you go get a cheesesteak? She's like, I wouldn't get a cheesesteak in the city.
Wow.
I was like, really? She's like, no, I'd go outside the city to get that. She's like, so I don't have a great answer. She's like, don't go to Pat and Gino's though.
Oh no.
And that's where Zero wanted to go. He was very disappointed to hear nobody eats there.
Right.
Nobody local anyway. So we ended up looking around and one of the places that got a lot of high marks was this place called Shay's. But the commentary in there, and maybe this spoiled my thought a little bit. The commentary in there said, it's sleek, it's very bougie, and when you walk in, it is. It looks like a Steak and Shake almost when you walk in there, like bright and a lot of different art on the wall and stuff like that. $19 for a cheesesteak. Just the sandwich, like an 8-inch hoagie.
8-inch?
6 or 8-inch, I don't know.
Yeah.
I've never been able to tell the difference.
Well, when I went and looked, they're using like prime rib.
Dude, they have a Wagyu like cheesesteak you can buy. So we just got the classic. Zero love.
It's like New York strip and prime rib. Now, a regular cheesesteak is supposed to be like shaved ribeye. So ribeye is also expensive. But when I looked at that, I was like, oh my God, they're trying to go like top end quality for every ingredient.
Yeah. And somebody else said like, they don't have like the actual cheese whiz. They make it in house. They don't ever freeze their meat. Like they want it to be like a little cheaper.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, it was really good.
Farm to table.
Loved it. Better than Ish Kabibbles, which...
But Zero said he thought it was one of the best things he's ever had.
Yeah, and then he cooled on it later. He was like, it was good. I was like, I don't know why you're all of a sudden softening. But Zero walked into Philly wanting to hate the city. And as he was walking around, he's like, damn, you're right. He's like, I do love this city. This is pretty great.
I cannot believe that the NFC East streak is still alive. Bobby's going to blow your mind after it happened again yesterday from Cowboys and Filthy. We'll tell you what it is next on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan.